Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 626. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Don't you indicate me. There's nothing worse than being indicated. I'm the most indicated individual of all time.
Neither of them are true, but... Earl is here.
I am just going to say that this is just a witch hunt, and Tony innocent, accused the president. So thank you very much. Have a good night.
Jeff is here as well.
I'm pulling out. Different topic. Oh, I guess there's nothing to pull out of anymore.
Okay, it took me a second to get that one. Just because Jeff was talking, I'm like, what is he pulling out of? I'm assuming he's talking about E3.
No, I was just in the middle of doing something. I'm sorry.
He was sorry to interrupt your sex, Jeff. God.
Just like, I don't want to bring a kid into this world right now.
Yes. Historical evening. They've a former president has been indicted for a crime.
Okay, E3 canceled also.
I find it so funny that they all have to clarify. Like, it's the first time that former, current, past, dead. It's the OU president. You don't need to say it's the first time I've it doesn't matter what status president he is. It's the first one who's ever been indicted for anything.
That's true. Because like Nixon wasn't actually indicted, right? Like he resigned and then they immediately pardoned him.
Yeah.
For any possible crime. So. Yeah.
Someone wasn't smart enough to do anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why he's not smart enough for that. So, and as Jeff indicated, also E3 died for what, the sixth time now?
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth, sixth? I don't know. E3, which we were all looking forward to. I'm sure, we were all looking forward to
it. So looking forward to it.
Has been canceled yet again, and now we're just left with Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest, which honestly isn't a replacement.
It's not a replacement.
Well, aren't like a lot of companies just doing their own little thing?
Yeah,
like so, I mean, it's just not E3. Like, you know what I mean?
That was the issue, is that like everybody started doing their own thing. And ESA never really adopted to that change where people started. I mean, they've had years and years to come up with some alternative. I think, like having that whole in-person thing just isn't affordable anymore for a lot of studios.
When there's no need for it either, right?
Yeah,
like they're getting their message out. Like E3 when it started was a trade show. Like, buyers would go to the convention to look at new material that they'd be buying for their retail chains. That doesn't happen now. Like,
right.
I think we were 80% digital last year for video games. Like a physical trade show just doesn't. It doesn't serve the same purpose anymore.
No, it doesn't, and they never figured that out. I mean, honestly, the perfect time for them to have figured that out would have been the first year of the pandemic. And like, what does this become in the age of like, we can't have people in person, but you could still do something. You can have press conferences. I mean, Nintendo's been doing digital press conferences for a decade now. You could have Microsoft. Does this ways for people to play demos of games for at home? Like they will do like the indie stuff, like where you get to download it and it's active like a week or whatever. There's avenues to pursue that would have helped them, but they were very tied to like it needs to be like this big thing in Los Angeles. You need to have all of this booth space. You need to, and it just it didn't make any sense for people to continue on that way.
Nope. So, Reed, is that who was Reed Pop? They were Reed the ones
yeah, that they, bought it, yeah.
And they do the PAX conventions.
They do a lot of conventions, which is why I actually thought this year would have happened, because they also do I don't think they do San Diego, but they do like New York Comic Con and a lot of like those conventions you hear about. So that's why I was like, oh, okay, you know, if they're in charge, if nothing else, this will happen. And yeah, I mean, we kind of jumped to the end of it, but like, I think the week started off with like, was it Sega being the first one who announced that they're not doing E3 this year? I mean, this week. And then I think it came out that it was Tencent and. No, Ubisoft was
the first Ubisoft was first one, then Sega and Tencent said they weren't going to be there.
And it was like this domino effect where people are like, oh, you know, like this probably isn't going to happen. Because again, people talk and folks are like, oh, we haven't heard anything about them, never been communicating, which, honestly speaking, don't understand that.
Yeah, a month, two and a half months out from when it was supposed to be, and you haven't really got any communication on it, that's not good.
Yes, I mean, I think I mentioned this before on the show, and my former life, which I say like 6 months ago, you know, big part of my job was event planning, and our event was like one day, and that was 6-7 months of planning. That like we would have like our event last year was in June, and we started planning that like the end of October the year before, and that's just one night, and it was inside of our building with us. This where you have dozens of different companies. You're renting out a giant convention center. There's a lot of communication that you needed to be well past the point of that. Like, people should have known exactly where, when, and what to do.
Yep. We've poured one out for you, E3.
Are we, though? Like,
we drink one in your honor.
And just because, you know, I said it on the Summer Game Fest is not a replacement. The Summer Game Fest has never been a replacement for E3. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you folks feel the same. I feel like the more and more that goes on, the more and more Jeff Keighley just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Because like he did it again today where it's like, he did it all week. Where like something comes out about this and it's like, oh, that's the second I need to put up something about my my summer game, my event.
Yeah, like immediately he was in there. Well, Summer Games Fest is coming, folks. All right.
Yep. Maybe wait for your moment there, Jeffy.
Yeah. And it feels so fake and hollow with him.
I mean, he doesn't have a soul, so it's always going to feel fake and hollow.
That is fair. It's not even a ginger.
Some other news here, which we'll touch on real quick. The Multiversus beta is ending.
Okay. Let's call it a spade. Let's call it a spade a spade. Like, I don't care what they say. That was not still in beta.
They've had what, three seasons and multiple new characters introduced. They've been charging people for seasons.
They were charging for season pass. You were not in beta at that point. You are a game.
I thought, like, and I guess maybe that was the alpha period. I thought there was a part before the first season started.
Yes, where it was, and that was like when it launched in early summer of last year. I think there was a part where it was actually in beta up until, I want to say, I think the actual season launched like maybe early September. And there is, like, somebody pointed this out. There is literally a patch that says like 1.0. Like, and you think that would be the live version. So it's hard to be like, oh, no, we were just in beta now. And it's not even so much that it's stupid. But it's not even so much that. It's the fact that, like, oh, yeah, okay, we're not going to be in beta anymore. We're going to disappear for a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part that makes me wonder what actually happened. Did they find some sort of like exploit, or like what is wrong at the core of what they've developed that is so bad that they need to take it offline? Like, I don't think we have the real story here. Because nobody's stupid enough. They're making money off of this thing. They're not pulling it for, you know, they're not dumb, right? There's a reason. There's got to be some sort of logical reason why they're doing this. They don't just hate money, because if they just, they could just leave it there and do nothing, right? And still make money.
Right. Yes, and that's what I was, because like, yes, to your point. Because the, I mean, bad game is bad game, but the worst thing you can be is a forgotten game. And if you disappear for, I mean, a year, you like you could relaunch where people are like, oh, I thought that game was out already, or I completely forgot about it. And that's not what you want. I mean, you know, for all the qualms, and I don't think any of us actually played, but you got No Man's Sky. That game continued to exist in, until it had that big patch that apparently fixed stuff for people. Again, I don't know. I've never played it. But, you know, everybody who plays it or continues to play it said that it was improved. So good on them. But, like, yeah, disappearing for a year, I just don't get.
No idea. So, goodbye multiverses. Who knows? Maybe they'll add like a single player thing in, and they'll just release it as a real game, not a free to play thing. And maybe people that have already spent money on it will get reimbursed. Now, I doubt it. So don't hold your breath on any of that.
Yeah. Like, do you keep this stuff when it comes back next season?
Right. Because that's normally the expectation when you buy in, when you like
that, do that, the early they said that. They said you get everything that you've purchased so far.
Okay. So at least they clarified that.
Yeah. Which, good, but like, why? The whole thing makes no sense. Why are you stopping then?
Yeah. For a year, too. Because like, it's not coming out till 2024. So, I don't know. I don't know how you reinvigorate people, you get people excited for it again. Like if people were dying off, like you're not going to be able to bring them back by going, now we're out fully. Oh well. And then they showed some Tears of the Kingdom gameplay. What was it? About 10 minutes? I did not watch.
Yeah.
13 minutes.
I just heard from, you know, what you guys were saying, what the internet was saying. They weapon degradation is back, but you can now fuse stuff to your weapons. So I guess you can like fuse a rock to your sword or something, and
you're like experiment and create weapons. Yeah, like you know, here's
you could take a stick
rock.
And make it an extra long stick.
Yeah.
Ooh. Jeff, you kind of said it's like Zelda nuts and bolts.
Yeah. You could like make put a couple logs together, put a fan on the logs, and you got a boat, like shit like that.
Not sure that's what I want out of Zelda. Looks like some people were excited, some other people are not so excited.
I'm neither here nor there. Like, they're definitely leaning into certain aspects of it that, like, it's not the thing I really care about. But, like, you know, they showed, like, 10 minutes of the game, so it's like...
And I think they were always showcasing new stuff. They were just showcasing those new systems. It's not like they were going through, like, okay, here's what's... Like, they didn't show dungeons or...
We don't know much about anything, yeah.
Exactly. It was just them being like, yeah, here's like what's new and cool. And, you know, there were people who really enjoyed the nonsensical, well, not nonsensical.
Like playing with your abilities and the way, like, yeah, it's just like very open-ended. Like if you could think of something, you could probably do it.
Yeah.
Nature, and like Nintendo really seemed to lean into that for the sequel. You know, again, it's not like the things I'm really worried about. Like, it's cool, it's in there. They showed a new ability too called Ascend, where like
I mean, it is what it says.
You can basically go
up.
You fly up, you could go through the ceiling of any like place you're in. So if like you're in a building, you can look up at the ceiling, pick a spot, and you'll like fly up and go onto the roof. Like you'll go through the ceiling. Or let's say you're in a cave and you do that, you'll like end up on top of the mountain that you're like under. It's kind of a neat thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I think
that's kind of it, right? Like,
again, that's why like, when people are talking like, oh, it's not this, it's not that, like it is very much like I've seen people say, oh, this is just a DLC pack for Breath of the Wild, and I'm like, that's hard to say.
Yeah. The thing that worried me is I did see some people saying it looks like it's the same map, like.
They said as much. It is. I mean, part of it. It seems to be teasing, and I'm sure this is just really dumb fan casting, kind of like because you know in the original, I don't even want to say original, but in the Grand Timeline as well, the Skyward Sword is the first game in the franchise, and this seems to be like teasing like how Sky Off becomes Sky Off, with like the islands and like the bigger islands, which I assume will be the thing that really kind of elevates the world. I also don't, I mean, and again, I, you know, probably in minority, I actually think there's a novelty in games kind of revisiting the same world, what changes. I don't know if that's what this is, but there's been games where it's like, here's this world that you've been familiar with. Here it is, like, 10 years later. What has changed? What hasn't changed? What's new? What's
I don't love it. I like to get a whole new map, but I'm assuming, and I hope that, like, you know, it's all new shrines, you know, all new shrine locations, like, you know, kind of, you know, maybe using the same map as a base and, like, completely rebuilding it with, I mean, I'm assuming that's what it has to be. It can't be like, oh, here's the actual map is exactly the same, and there's a bunch of fucking, like, shrines that you did last time still. Like, I don't think that's what it'll be. I'd be fucking very disappointed if so. I mean, obviously, there's all that new stuff floating around in the air, but I'm just excited for it, just because it's Zelda. It's gonna be good. It's like a month away, but like, yeah, like that direct was not like speaking to the things that I care about. I don't know. Give us real legends.
You and Earl will both be getting it at launch. Yes.
Yeah. I have it pre-ordered already. I did the voucher thing, you know.
But yes, and I think, I think Chris mentioned this, and I don't disagree. I think I've said as much before. I do hope that, you know, again, this is only the second Zelda game in this style. You said you don't like 3D Zelda games. I like 3D Zelda games. I prefer them to the Breath of the Wild style. I enjoy Breath of the Wild for what it is, but I do, and for me, part of the appeal of Zelda is the aha moment when you solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
And I know Breath of the Wild gives you some of that, but that's really more the game is like, it's the opposite. It's like, how can you break this game to solve something instead of like, oh, how do I connect these three things to make it make sense? Which is like why one of my favorite dungeons is the one in, I think, Link to the Past, where it's kind of like you have to keep on going like above ground to enter through various floors or various holes in the floor of the...
just a mountain area?
Yeah, I think that's... But like, yeah, and different parts of it gives you different... different levels, I guess, to the... To the dungeon, and that's it's such a fun and clever way to make use of that.
Well, that is roughly what, a month and a half away, so we'll know soon enough.
Not even, it's close. I guess about a month and a half away. God damn it!
Like it's like mid May, right?
Like, it's like May 12th. We're getting there, baby.
It was just delayed. Sorry, Jeff.
I was honestly surprised when they started off being like, oh, we finished the bug, because I was so excited to make. We're going to need a few minutes in the kitchen. But no, they were like,
well, we'll have more on Tears of the Kingdom when it releases. Yeah, 13 minutes, not really enough to
make a decision
on it.
I'm still a fan of them just keeping everything close to their chest.
Yeah, I think they showed enough that, like, hey, like, if you're a Zelda fan, you're probably buying it regardless. And, like, hey, here's this other stuff that you can do. Maybe that brings in some new fans.
I'm really curious about, will we have real dungeons? Real temples, whatever you want to call them. Because that, like, that is the one thing, looking back on Breath of the Wild now, like, those were disappointing. The big dungeons in that one were, like, pretty disappointing.
The Divine Beast, yeah.
They were, like, all just, like, one big puzzle, and there just weren't, like, not what you want. And, like, yeah. I don't know, my favorite thing about Zelda games are the fucking dungeons.
Yeah, like, you get the different environments, you like, go in, here's, like, you know, here's the item you're going to use, like, to solve this. Like, you can even have the item beforehand, like, a Link Between the Worlds. You could have all the items very early on, but it's still, like, this... You need this item to solve this dungeon. All the puzzles in this dungeon are kind of related around that. And then, you know,
I really hope they do that, because there's no reason you can't do. There's no reason, like, you could still have the completely open world game that it is and still do that. Just put the item in that dungeon or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, now it would be hard to design it so that you could use that item outside of the dungeon as much.
Yes, and
I don't know. They can figure it out. They're smart.
I think that was the issue, because you end up with, I mean, it's, yes, they've tried a bunch of different stuff, and then everybody, like, they did it with Twilight Princess. With Twilight Princess, like, oh, we're gonna make the item so useful, but
in the dungeon, fine if it's not, though. Like, just use it for that dungeon. Like, design a bunch of puzzles around it for that dungeon. You know what I mean?
But again, that's the issue we have with Twilight Princess. Like, it's not like they haven't tried that. That's what I mean. I think it's like everything they've tried, people have, like, it's not enough, which is, I mean, it is what it is.
You're always going to have people that are going to.
But I mean, like, yes, Twilight Princess is very much criticized for the fact that, like, the items are very much like, oh, this is for this dungeon and has very little use outside of it. Like, that spinner does not do much outside of that dungeon.
That's fine with me, though. Like, I can have all the shrines based around your core abilities that they give you at the beginning.
Which is what the shrines were.
Yeah, but just give me the... Which, you can fuse these two things together, and it can work. I don't know. I really do hope that the dungeons are improved from...
Oh, yeah, I don't...
The first one, at least. And more of them.
We will see shortly.
Yeah.
So. What we do know is there were some new games came out over the last little bit, and we've played some of them in beta, and some full retail releases. But Jeff, you've been playing the new hotness, Resident Evil 4. That's what it's called. Like, they didn't even say it was Resident Evil 4 Remake. There's, like, it's Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
I've been playing some of it as well.
I wrapped it up today, and I'm two chapters into New Game Plus. So I've gotten the full experience. Best remake ever? I think. It's really a weird thing, though, because it's like... Unlike, say, Resident Evil 1 or Resident Evil 2, like, Resident Evil 4 didn't need a remake. Like, I still think of Resident Evil 4, like, the original version of it, is really great and plays pretty fine, and I think still looks pretty good. But, man, they fucking went all out with this anyways and just completely redid it, and, you know... All sorts of changes everywhere beyond just, like, you know, controls, new areas, completely, you know, re-envisioned areas, different bosses, like, or, you know, changed bosses, like, they're a little different now. I really loved it. It is weird, though, because Resident Evil 4 is such a good game that you forget about how, like, annoying it could be in, like, the later parts, like, the, you know, it's, like, very intense game, right? Like, it's almost never lets up, like, very rarely lets up, and sometimes, man, like, well, for one, there was, like, at least three bosses I really struggled with, and there's these goddamn regenerator things. I don't know if you remember them, Chris.
I don't think so.
Alright, so basically, this is like an enemy. Like, thankfully, they don't use them a ton, but the only way you could kill the enemy is to, like, kill the three parasites that are inside of it. And so in order to do so, like, you have to shoot them a bunch until, like, they're kind of ripped open and you can see where the parasite is. Or you get this attachment, like, the scope for your rifle where you can kind of see inside them. Like, and then so you have to, like, shoot those three spots. But one of these fucking regenerators that you run into late in the game, you do all that, he falls down and it seems like he's dead, and then he gets up one more time and there's a parasite in his head. Which is fine or whatever, so you just gotta shoot that. But if now he has, like, spikes, like, sticking out of him, and if he he could grab you from pretty far away, it's an instant kill. Like, he just pulls you into the spikes.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of enemies that can do instant kills, and that's super annoying.
There's a boss that could do instant kills if he grabs you, and pretty tough. You gotta keep on moving. But yeah, overall, this game looks amazing. You know, it's, like, hard to, like, list all the things that they did, but there's, like, just whole, like, have you done the lake area yet?
Yeah, I'm at the castle now.
Okay. The whole lake area was completely, like, new, I think. You're at the castle now.
Yeah. It's like I just shot the cannon, blew open the door.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, though. Was it inside the castle where you had to go the three different ways, and there was, like, a little mini mission for you each way? Have you played inside the castle at all?
No, I just got into the courtyard. So, I got to the castle, went through the cannon part, and that's where I stopped right before we started recording.
The castle is really neat. It's almost like a little miniature Resident Evil game. And, man, I think it's after this or later in this, you do this solo Ashley part. That there was a part in the original Resident Evil 4 where you play as Ashley. This is, like, completely redone, and it's so fucking cool, dude. Like,
that was bad in the original.
Dude,
playing as Ashley was not good.
It's really neat this time. There's these fucking knights roaming all over the place, like, you know, like, suits of armor or whatever. It's so cool, dude. Like, I can't even describe it. Like, it's fucking nuts. But yeah, just every little thing in the game, and there's been something neat done to it, I think.
I think they've done a really good job. I don't love Resident Evil 4 like you do. It is not one of my favorite Resident Evils, but, like, I think they've done a really good. I think this is better than the original in some ways. I think it controls better. Still does suffer from some of that same Resident Evil bullshit where it's like enemies get up close to you and they kind of, like, they don't walk right at you, so they kind of swerve, and, like, you have one lined up with a headshot and you'll shoot and they'll swerve just as you shoot, so it'll go over their shoulder and then they're, like, eating your neck. It's always fucking frustrating, especially when this game, as you said, it's super intense and it's relentless. Like, in the first few Resident Evil games, it's like, here's, you go into a room, there's, like, two, three zombies outside of a few areas where they just keep swarming at you. Here, you're always being swarmed. Like, enemies are coming from behind you, they're coming from in front of you. It's not just two or three either. Like, that first big battle, which is in the village, there's like 15, 20 enemies chasing you around the village. It's so if you are missing a shot, like, it is super frustrating, but they've done some cool stuff here, I think.
Here, my connection's back. I was like having connection issues.
That's a shame.
I was trying to say,
disconnect him again, please.
You do get better and better with the combat as you go along, I think. And I do love some of the changes made to the combat, where it's got a nicer flow where you could melee people and knife them and shit.
Yeah, that's the other. I wish that the knife didn't break so quickly, or that. I mean, I know there's a way to get a knife that doesn't break, but it's fucking frustrating.
Like your first I usually have a few.
Yeah, I have a bunch of the kitchen knives, and you can upgrade your combat knife, but it doesn't, like, it goes from, all right, you can do like 5 hits with it to, you know, you're now up to 10 if you upgrade it all the way. And like, you can pick up kitchen knives or boot knives, so you have them in there. But
you usually have a few, you know, a few escape possibilities up your sleeve, right? You'll run out, but, you know, usually for a little bit you'll be able to get away from a few grabs and stuff. But yeah, I just like the flow of it. Like, I like when you get a couple shots at someone and it like staggers them when they fall down, and then, you know, you can see that, oh, I can melee them now, and I just start running it in, kick them.
Yeah, that is something I like, where it's like you shoot them in the leg, like, you know, because you shoot them in the leg, they'll drop to their knees. You can run up, press the melee button, you know, if they're staggered enough, and if any other enemies are near them, when you do it,
they'll also get hit by a kid. Yeah. It's got a cool flow to it. Like, I like the improvements that they made to the combat, and it made me like excited for Mercenaries next week, you know, because I just think it feels good and I'll be having fun with it. I don't know. I could probably like talk about this game forever, but
it's a good remake. I mean, I think I prefer like one, two, and three over four, but I do think it's a very good remake of that game.
That is another thing I did want to clarify. Like, I'm kind of with you, and that I do prefer at least one and two, probably over four, but like, there's no denying that I think four is just like a masterpiece as well. It's just a little bit different.
It is an action game, as opposed to like the first three games are survival horror games. This is an action game. Like,
this does stop though. It does have areas that are more like traditional Resident Evil. Like, again, I think the castle part you're gonna do now, you'll really appreciate, and there are puzzles like sprinkled throughout, and that's another thing, is like all the puzzles in this are like new, dude. Like, it's mind blowing to me.
They're pretty good. They can be a little bit annoying. Like, I think you said you had a little bit of trouble with the there's like a one really early on, and it's like a crystal marble thing where you're trying to line up some imagery. There's one in a church that I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was just a pain in the ass. It's three different colors you have to kind of twist to and then fit an image into it, and I was just
you had trouble with that?
It didn't take long. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm here for an hour. Like, it was just like, you know, more than 5 minutes. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
so
we can start getting frustrated with it, because it's like, these shouldn't be that hard, because they're, and it's not, it's just like you have something lined up just a little bit wrong, or you're upside down. Like, you have it lined up, but it's upside down, so it's not perfectly correct.
My problem with the crystal marble thing is I had it lined up. I'm like, why will it not click into place? I was like, what the fuck? I even looked up a video, and I was like, okay, that's what I'm doing. And then, like, I read the comments on the video, and other people were saying the same thing as me. And then, like, people were like, yeah, just quit your game and restart it. It's like a bug. And I'm like, so that is why I was telling you to tell me when you get to that part.
Oh, yeah,
if you had that trouble, yeah. I was going to tell you to completely quit out the game and restart it, but it sounds like you didn't have that trouble.
No, no, it's like I lined it up and it was like it looked like it was lined up and I was like, what the hell? And mine was, it was actually upside down. Like, so when I rotated it the other way, it unlocked.
I got to that part again today in my new game plus, no problem whatsoever. I was done in 2 seconds. So I don't know maybe something was wrong the first time. I don't know. But there's some really neat puzzles, I think. Like, there's ones like, it's like stuff will be, like symbols will be on a wall, and you're like, oh, like,
yeah,
that, I'm supposed to be paying attention to the wall around me, and like that's like the code I have to put in to open the door or whatever. You know?
There's like the first time I saw that was like at the lake. Like there's two areas you have to go explore, and there's like there's locks that are like these symbols, so you have to figure out how to which ones to turn or press to open the lock. And like it was like, oh, and like some of them are like it's on one part of the wall, but then if you like turn like the other pieces is further away. So yeah, some like neat puzzle design.
Yeah, and they didn't have to do all this. That's kind of like the last thing I want to make about this is like they really like redid this game. Like the skeleton of it is the same, but so much has changed. And you look at like Resident Evil 4, the original, and it's like that was a masterpiece. And the fact that they like changed and added so much here and didn't fuck it up, like it kind of blows me away. Like I think they did a really great job with it.
Yeah, really good remake. So, you're done with the one you're playing New Game Plus now. Mm-hmm. You're done. I'm like, I guess like maybe 40% through. So, I'll continue on with it. And I'm sure we'll finish it before the next big game comes out.
Gonna hit some hard bosses. Good luck.
Yeah. I always get frustrated because I see some people, like you look up some shit on YouTube and like people are just like, they have it down to a science, like exactly how to hit them. They're hitting every shot. And it's like, man, like, am I this bad? Like,
yeah, little did you know, you just suck.
See, this is fucking nuts.
Some of the bosses you're gonna have to play a few times and just get good at them. Like it really is like you just get more and more familiar with the beats and stuff that are gonna happen, and you start to figure out what to do or whatever. Like there are bosses that I don't think you'll beat on the first try or even the first couple tries.
So yeah, we'll continue playing some of that. Tony, you and I played some of the Diablo 4 beta.
We did. I think you played more than I did, but...
You played a good chunk, though. You played up to, what, like level 11, 12?
Yeah, I think I made it to level 12 when I stopped.
Yeah. You could evidently continue on through there. Like, I guess, like, the leveling didn't stop, but it is evidently the whole first act of the game.
I didn't want to keep going with a character that I wasn't going to like hold on to.
Yeah. I played enough to get like whatever the beta reward was, which isn't really, it's like a dumb cosmetic thing.
Yeah, you show me the beta reward. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to play as long as I feel like playing. I don't really care about that. But I mean, I super enjoyed it. It played really smooth. I don't play these games. Like this is like the first time I've played a Diablo game since I want to think Diablo 2, like
what?
a long time ago.
On the PC. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
That's a good Tony genre.
Yeah, not really. Like I do like RPG. It's too light for me, generally. Like there's a lot of like clicking around, I feel like. But I mean, I did really like what I played, and I think more light RPGs are kind of more suited to my lifestyle now, because I really just want stuff to mindlessly click around.
Get cool loot.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's like going around, killing stuff, and trying to find the best possible loot. I'm like
watching the numbers go up.
finding the epic pants that are suited to you, and just getting rid of the other pants that don't really work out for you anymore. I played as the sorcerer.
Okay.
So it took me a moment to figure out that when I, you know, was hitting the attack button, that something was flying across the screen and I wasn't just like swinging a knife, because I kind of thought like when you started that you only started off with like a knife, which is not clear. Like, I don't even know what the base weapon is.
I get what you're saying. That's one thing I find weird about Diablo. Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah. I eventually, like, oh, it's a wand or like a staff, and it's like shooting magic stuff at them. And that makes a bit more sense.
And similar to like Dungeons and Dragons, or there's other RPGs as well, but like certain classes can only equip certain items. So like,
which is kind of weird when you're playing like single player and you find like, I'm playing as a sorcerer and I pick up a crossbow, like, ooh, a crossbow, I can't use it.
Yeah. Like that, I was playing the rogue. That's a weapon for me. but that's good. Cause like, I mean, in, you know, for you in the beta, it doesn't help because we weren't playing together, but yeah, like that's something like, you know, Jeff picks up a new wand. He can drop that for you or transfer it to you. If we're playing together, actually, I think Diablo has always been kind of like, you can give that to your friends.
Right.
Like, regardless.
Yeah. I mean, I know that was a big part problem with 3 was that like people had like the whole Diablo marketplace and stuff like that. But I was also going to say, I think you can also save it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You could. Yeah. If you want to create another character. Yeah. You could definitely
give it to that other character.
But I think, I think I'm right about this. Couldn't you also, like, even if I'm not playing with Tony, and like, I'm like, I know he's a sorceress, but yes. Spoilers, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah,
I can send it to him. Like, I can send it to his, like, to him, yes. You know, mailbox, essentially.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Really neat, but I'm going to be sorceress, probably. If we're going to play together, though, are you going to be sorceress?
I have no idea. I don't.
I probably am.
I barely knew what I was while I was playing, Jeff.
Yeah. I guess my question then is more for Chris, which you played a lot of Diablo 3, right?
Yeah, I beat it with multiple characters. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that the combat feels improved in 4?
Yeah, a little bit. It is also, it's hard to, like, the way you build out your character here, like, you are slowly, there's a bigger skill tree. As opposed to 3, which is like, you know, when you hit a certain level, you can unlock a certain thing. This is like, it's this big skill tree, and you can put
way more customized.
Yeah, so like you know, if you don't utilize a certain type of skill for your whatever character you're using, you can skip over that and build out a different way.
That's cool.
But love it. But because like it's a slow build, like I didn't have my ultimate by the time I finished. Like I don't know where that ultimate attack was. And so like I was building out my rogue in a certain way, but I don't know if like the ultimate skills are there or how they're utilized. I do think like, I mean, it plays like one of those games, like, you know, it plays like Diablo or Torchlight. Is that the
yeah,
like, you know, it's a, you're pressing the buttons a lot.
Yes,
one thing I just thought Diablo 3 felt so easy, and like even if you played on a really high difficulty, it was just, you just tear through things.
So I died, like I was playing on whatever the base level was. It's also not, it's weird because there's, you could play there, and there was like a veteran one, and there's like I think like they keep increasing. Like Diablo 3 had like 15 different difficulty levels. And yeah, I didn't find it particularly hard. I think the only time I died was when the butcher showed up, and the butcher seems random. You know, in the other games, like you would fight the butcher in a certain arena. Here, like he just popped out of like, you just hear his laugh and he chases you through the area you're at, and then he kills you and you have to revive. And then he's gone. He's not there anymore. So he's like a super boss. And there's also world bosses that, like, they are, if you've played Destiny, there's like these world events that you would fight like the tank or whatever. So there's like an enemy like that in Diablo that you need to like fight with other people. But yeah, if you're just going up against skeletons or ghouls, Jeff, like you're gonna tear through them. But that's how Diablo's always
kind
of been. So
I don't know. I think I was watching IGN's preview or like, you know, their like look at the beta and like that they were just kind of like saying that the combat feels a lot better and then you have to be a little more strategic and moving around a bit. And I think they said that like it's now like health potions basically that you get instead of like you're constantly like refill. Like I don't think your health auto refills.
It doesn't auto refill.
You have to hit a button.
There are skills that you can get
to
like have like a regeneration ability, but it doesn't like auto regenerate.
Yeah.
You have like I think I started out with four. It's like a fat flask, right? And like I think I hit level 10 or something, and it went up to 5.
I like that change. Everything I've seen about this game looks cool to me, man. Like I can't wait.
And then you like enemies will drop flasks and you can pick them up.
Yeah, I found they were like lying all over the ground. Like it wasn't hard to find more.
And that also you also upgrade the like how well they work. So like depending upon whatever your first flask is, it doesn't fill up all of your health. But then like, you can buy an upgrade for it using upgrade points or whatever, and like it'll do more and more as you go on. But of course you're gaining more hit points as well. So I think it feels good. Game looks good. Like I thought it looked really neat. The one thing I really liked about it, and this is big change from like Diablo 2 and 3, is that you would have like a base hub for your like where the act takes place, and that's where your shops are, and your transmog and your gem.
Take the portal back to it.
Yeah. So this has there's like a big city you get to early on, but then there's like little villages.
Kind of along the way and stuff.
Yeah. So and like they have shops, and they also have they have the fast travel points that you can activate. So you can get to those areas, and in those areas there's subquests to do. So it feels like more of a world as opposed to like here's this hub and you're gonna go into dungeons from here. It's more of a big sprawling world that you're
love exploring. It.
There's like I don't remember if Diablo 3 had them. Like there were definitely like you could bring up a portal and go back to town. But Diablo 2 had like town portal scrolls. You can warp out of a dungeon and go back to the main hub. It's just like a button press. It's a hidden button press. Cause I was like, how the hell do I get out of this dungeon? And for the first couple dungeons, I'm like walking back out, and that's a pain in the ass. If you've ever walked through a Diablo dungeon, they're pretty deep. Like they're big. It's like, why is there no portal out here? Do I have to buy a town portal? No, it's just a button press that's hidden. They don't do a good job. And
I think on 3, it was like pressing right on the D-pad or something like that.
It's something like that here. It's just not on the screen.
So no, like, yeah.
You have to
know how to do it. Yeah.
And they give you tutorials on just about everything else.
That's how that was in 3. I think that's how that was in 3. Is like
might have been just a button press, yeah.
Yeah, but like they never it was just like you just had to figure it out one time. Like, oh, I can do this. Oh, dude.
Yeah. So it's like I just happened to on it accidentally and but I was reading some of the forum posts. Like, is there a town portal? Like, how do I get out of the dungeon except walking out? Some other idiot did exactly what I did. He's just walking out of the damn dungeon. Like, it's like they're like, you just got to press the button. It's there. It's like, oh, it's hidden. Yeah, I think that game's gonna be fun.
Can't wait for it to
come out in June. And The last thing I played, MLB The Show 23 came out.
Yeah.
That is a good baseball game. And one of the things that, like, so I knew that this was being in it, but I was like, oh, I don't know how cool that's going to be. They said that they were going to have, like, the Negro League players in the game. They built that all out, so it is, like, this baseball documentary.
I love that idea. Like, I think we were talking about this in group chat, like, doing, like, sports, like, history through the games. Like, that's such a cool fucking idea. Like, I know other games have done that, too, but it's something that they should all do more.
Yeah, it's, like, celebrate the sport that you're, you know, getting people to play here. And so, yeah, you go in, you start up. It's its own option in the menu. Like, you go into this, and it's this baseball historian. He starts talking about baseball, and then you pick certain players, and they all have what they call episodes. And you, like, you'll get a little bit of history on them, like, oh, like this pitcher, like, you know, they'll go through the history of how he entered the league, some of the challenges that they faced, and the challenges of the league itself. And then they'll be like, they'll drop you into playing as that player in that time period. And you have to do, like, you know, get 2 strikeouts or something as them. So there's, like, a little bit of gameplay, but then, like, when you complete that challenge, it moves on to the next episode, and you keep getting more and more archival footage that they have, sometimes, like, because there's not a lot of archival footage of it, so it's just like they're showing imagery from Cooperstown, or they've done, like, some animated stuff where you know, they have the players in, like, an animated form showing them that way as they talk about the history and what these players meant to the sport. It's really, really cool. Yeah, and that's on Game Pass, so that is bad. That is a giant coup for Microsoft these last 3 years to get, like, the only baseball game.
Yeah.
And it's a high quality one. It's from Sony as well. So just right there on Game Pass. But yeah, that's some neat stuff there. So go check that out if you have any interest in, like, baseball history. You guys play anything else this week?
Not really for me. I'm waiting on the PGA Tour game. I played a little bit of a Mario game, but we'll get into that.
We'll talk to that shortly. Tony, you play anything else?
Not really. Okay. I have a bunch of things on my list that I want to play for Jeff, but I really haven't played enough of
them. And Earl, did you get to play anything this past week?
I played a game I forget that Xbox does this. Early Access, or what do they call it? Game Previews?
Yeah.
A game called RoboQuest, which is a very generic... Yes, I will grant you that. But it's a roguelike first-person shooter that kind of reminds me a lot of Borderlands, with a Doom or Unreal's kind of twitch shooting. So you play as, I mean, you start off, you have one cast, which is kind of like the generic all-in-one cast. And, you know, you complete certain tasks to unlock other ones. That's not important. But, like, in that thing, you have a bunch of different systems. Each cast has a special ability. You have a special melee attack. You go through and you defeat it. And, you know, you level up the characters. You unlock different types of perks and weapons. So, you know, like, there's a sniper. There's, like, you know, there's your generic weapons. Then there's, like, you know, like a rapid-fire crossbow or, like, an electricity gun. And all of that stuff then has, like, different type of, they call affixes, which are essentially just abilities. So it might be like, this gun does cryo gem, it just freezes this person in place. this gun does fire damage. This one explodes. This one homes in. This one does, you know, increased damage like the first 10 shots or something like that. And you go through and you just defeat a bunch of robots, very generic kicking robots. I would grant them that. And you know, then you, it's, you know, roguelike, so it's randomly generated. So you get different paths. You can find purple areas, which is where you go to get new weapons and new loot. You can find gold areas, which are hidden areas that have more. What am I trying to say? They have like more. They have better weapons or like or skill points or something like that. And then, you know, and then you have like, so every enemy you defeat drops a drops healing orbs, which vanish very, very quickly. I would say something like maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds is that. So it's like this balance between like rushing in to kind of collect health or staying back and just like hoping you don't get hit a ton. All of that. Then there's like a boss encounter. So we fought like it's a giant like mole that has like a drill as a nose, and that would keep on popping up, and it'd pop up. It would do shock waves. You'd have to jump over, or it would like get up and like it would do like a charge attack, and you'd have to dodge out of the way. So like yeah, you know, and then you defeat the boss, you'll knock stuff like that. You have these safe zones where you can go into, and you would get you'll get like one, you can refill your health up to like 15%, and then you get like new weapons. That's where you use your points to like upgrade your weapons or buy new items or buy new this, that, and the third. But yeah, I thought it was honestly a ton of fun. Like, it's early access because there's parts of the games you go to where they literally will be like, this is still in the construction, so you can't enter like certain rooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the core, I think, is fundamentally a ton of fun. It does that thing that all roguelites do, where like, you know, you do stuff during the course of the game, you die, but then you have a like, permanent unlock, so you can start the game with X number of power cells, which is what you use to upgrade your items and your abilities. You know, like when you start off the game, they give you an option of one gun, you can upgrade that. Like, it's upgraded now that when I start, I get an option of 4 different guns. I haven't gotten this far yet, but like you can upgrade because you can carry 2 weapons at a time. You have abilities on that where it's like, oh, you get a third gun. And they let you carry whatever. At one point I had a sniper and like a grenade launcher. So it's like, yeah, do whatever you want with that. I honestly was genuinely surprised by this. So it's one I would say keep your eyes out on. It's 2-player online co-op as well.
It looks like a like cel shaded type look to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like I said, it's very reminiscent of Borderlands.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks neat. Like there's a cool style to it. All right, I'll keep an eye on that. No achievements for it yet.
No, and that was super weird. Like playing through, and like you, I'm sure you've all played enough games to like. There's certain stuff you do where it's like, okay, this should be an achievement. Where I did, and I'm like, oh, nothing popped up. I'm like, this is very weird. It's like, you know, defeated my first boss. I'm like, okay, that should be an achievement. Finding your first secret area, that should be an achievement. Like defeating like, you know, like I don't know, 10 enemies without taking damage or something like that should be an achievement. Getting like, you know, finding a second zone and stuff like that, where I'm like, oh, I feel like we should be getting achievements left, right, and center here, but nothing's popping up. So,
all right, keep an eye on that. You play anything else?
No, yeah,
all right, just one last piece of news that Walt gave us to us. Xbox Games Pass Friends and Family has I guess it's appeared.
Appeared.
And
a wild Friends and Family has
$40 for a month of it. That is, I guess you get five people that can access it off of your account. I guess it's shared throughout. So 5 people would have access to Game Pass for $40. That seems a little bit steep, but also Game Pass is $15 a month if you're buying it individually. So,
yeah, it seems like something where I think you'd have to, like, because I mean, again, it's cheaper just to do it on your own. Like, I paid like $100 for the next 3 years.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's always like some sort of deals on longer term subscriptions. I do know that they killed off the dollar entry point.
Yes, for people.
Oh no!
But like, it's still like even then, it's like $15 to convert, or you might still get a free month.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah. Like, that, in the grand scheme of things, is like, I understand why people complain, but I'm like, yeah, like, they're offering the fact that they haven't killed that deal where it's like, if you can find Xbox Live Gold, which everybody still sells, and just do like 1 month, we will convert you to Ultimate, and it's so much cheaper than paying them. I don't know why they keep doing that, honestly.
I'm sure that'll be next on their chopping board. We'll find a way to limit that as well next. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought, hey, like, it might be a good idea to my son is, he'll be 17. He'll be, you know, leaving for college or wherever he's going next at some point in the near future. So it's like, you know, be beneficial if he could have access to Game Pass away from here, but for $40 a month, like, just for the two of us, that seems excessive. Just, I will give him $15 and he can get it himself.
You'd have to have a lot of friends and family for that to work out well.
Yeah. It is a deal if you can find four other people, I guess. Although not the same deal as what Earl got for $100 for 3 years, but
everybody can do it.
Yeah. All right. So the Mario movie comes out next week.
Woo.
Woohoo.
And
your list.
Celebration of that, we're gonna do a 2D Mario list, and then we'll do a 3D one maybe next week. But 2D Mario. Earl, you were saying, like, maybe Mario Brothers doesn't belong on this one because it's such a weirdly different game.
Yes.
That's fine. We could cut that, not have it here.
D tier.
I mean, it's a fine arcade game.
It's fine. At the time, it looked a lot better than other arcade games, but it is a boring game.
It's not great. It's a fine arcade game.
Yes, it is also, like I said, it's just, because it's not, I don't want to say it's not Mario, but it's not what the franchise ends up being. It's not even trying to be what the franchise ends up being. It's a very different type of experience. I wouldn't even... would you even call it a platformer?
Kind of. Yeah.
You're jumping around.
It's a single screen, you know, like typical early arcade game platformer, but yeah.
I don't... Okay, I mean, that is to each their own, but I would not call that a platformer.
I mean, you're like, if you're going like, oh, are you jumping, and if you miss a jump, you fall into a pit. No, like... But you're jumping from platforms.
Yes, but I mean, like, you might as well say the same thing about Joust or something like that.
Sure, Joust is also a platformer.
Okay.
So I know it's not on the list, but Donkey Kong, S tier.
Yes, that Donkey Kong.
Not a Mario game.
It's not, but Mario's in it, but it is Donkey Kong game.
Jumpman, not Mario.
Jumpman is in it. Mario's.
That's right.
Fair enough. Although I think they have retconned that, because in Odyssey, Paulina is in that, right? Like, so.
I mean, it also looks like Donkey Kong plays a starring role in the new movie, too.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying that Donkey Kong isn't in the Mario universe. I'm just saying that Mario is not a bad guy. He would never hold up DK Jr.
Fair enough. All right, so we're cutting Mario Brothers. Let's go Super Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers.
C tier.
What was that, Jeff?
C tier.
What?
I also had
B tier at best. B tier at best.
It like established all the norms for the entire franchise.
I know, yeah. And it was amazing at the time, but everything did it better. Other games did it better.
I wouldn't even argue it was amazing at the time. It was.
It was.
But yes, to Jeff's point, like, and to Tony's point, yes, it is a foundation for what the franchise becomes. But every single game of franchise is better than it.
I don't think every game is better, but you know where the foundation is? It's at the bottom. So
I think every game is better than it in some way.
I don't agree with that.
I can't wait till we come across one where Jeff is like, this is worse than Super Mario Brothers.
There's definitely way worse ones. I remember playing it when it came out. It was amazing. It was a great game. And it's still a fine game.
I don't agree with all of that, but it's
or any of that.
Where's
Earl placing this?
Yeah, I want to hear your tiers.
I said I agree with C-tier, because I think it's very middle. I think it historically it has to be up there, but I've said it before, is that I think it's one of those games that I think people should play for the historical nature of it, but it's not really a great game.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think I'd be like, go out and play this game. You're really going to enjoy it. Because anybody who's played any Mario game since then is going to be like, this is crap.
Breaking Chris's heart right here.
I mean, I love Super Mario Brothers, but I'm fine. Like, if you guys were like, it's C tier, that's fine.
No, but I'm not. I think it deserves more credit than C tier, though. Because, like, it establishes everything that, like, it determines what a Mario game is. Like, there is no Mario game without it.
Okay, where would you put it then, Chris?
I think B is probably fair.
Yes,
I can live with it. B tier.
I found that because I feel like we're gonna end up in an issue with so many of these other games. Then, if this is okay.
Oh, there are games we're gonna have issues.
There's ones we're gonna.
Oh, there are games that are worse. There are games that I think are better but more average. Like, they don't have that. I mean, okay, Connor's Fate is made right now. Like, I would say New Super Mario Brothers, the first one, is in that same boat where it's like, it sets the foundation for revival. Not a great game on its own.
We'll get there. So B tier? Right. I'm fine with B tier.
Okay, Super Mario Brothers 2.
A.
I had it at B tier.
Yeah. I'm fine with B, although
B, I feel like it's a stretch.
Yeah. No, Super Mario 2 is an awesome game. I loved it when it came out. It introduced a lot of new things that stuck with the series.
It introduced a ton of things that didn't stick with the series at all, though.
Wait, what? Okay, so, I will say this from the... What did it introduce that stuck with the series in 2D?
Princess Peach, the way she controls...
In 2D.
If you play as Princess Peach in any game that's come out since, how does she control? It comes from 2.
And 2D.
It had neat ideas. It had the little dark, like, alternate world you would enter. It had a cool twist ending.
Yeah, but what is stuck with the series other than Peach?
I don't know. I'm sure there's, like, items and enemies.
No, name one.
The Shy Guys, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
There's
stuff that's stuck with it. Like the ninjas are into Mario World and their characters. The Shy Guys, yes. How the characters control. Luigi jumps higher. Toad jumps further.
Controlling characters. That's awesome. I honestly think it's one of the better NES games.
But that's only in 3D games. Because Luigi in the Super Mario World, the new Super Mario World, controls the same way. So does Toad. That's not something they take.
Yeah, that's why that game is not as high as Super Mario Bros. 2, which is A tier.
But what your
like C tier though?
What C tier?
Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah.
No way! How could you not like it?
It's fine. Yeah.
Where are you at, Earl?
C tier.
What?
What's tier?
B.
So you're at B. Do B. Let's be nice.
Let's
I'm
just
saying
call them a B because.
That's a C plus. Like, can I add a C plus tier? Fine. That's a B. Everything's gonna end up at B tier.
No, it won't. No.
Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels.
That's D tier to me, man.
I kind of agree.
They didn't. It's fine to just do like a straight sequel using like the same graphics and everything. Like that was very common, you know. But like, it's just like, oh, we're just gonna make it like the level design sucked. Like they made it insanely hard. It's okay to add a little challenge in the sequel. Like
there's,
make it a little more challenging.
Shit in that game that's just invisible and you can't see it and like you'll die. Like,
I think it's just
unfair.
Plus, there are other Mario games that are sequels to the original that look way better. And it's like, where is the improvement in the looks?
I'm saying, though, if they had released a Super Mario Brothers 2 here that was just like Super Mario Brothers 1, maybe a little more challenging, but like had the same graphics and everything, I would be fine with that. But like this, I think the level design sucks. I think it's one of the worst Mario games. Like, I do not like it at all.
Earl's
so offended he's silent.
No, we're talking about Lost Levels.
Yeah.
I had it at B tier. I think it's an improvement over the original, but like, it is, I mean, to Jeff's point, I guess it is unfair. I'm down with putting it at C tier.
It's no way an improvement over the original. Put that shit in D tier.
I was gonna say they add like environment, like the wind and stuff being a factor, like playing with your expectations, like, you know, the warp zones and stuff like that. I do think it's a very clever usage, but again, I think even the one we got was still kind of softened up from the original. I could be wrong, but yeah, it's
D tier, and I'm not going any higher. I'll put it in F. Keep it up.
All right. We'll just leave it.
Put it in there.
No, we can't leave it. We need to make a decision.
Put it in there. Just put it in there
for now. I think three of us put it in D tier, and Earl's
saying C. He said B, and then he said T to green C.
I'm not gonna sit here and defend it. If you folks want to put it in D tier, put it in D tier.
I'm about to put it in F tier.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
S-tier. Just put it in S. Okay. No argument.
We agree. Glad we all agree. Super Mario Land.
D.
You think D, huh?
Yeah, the first Game Boy one.
Yeah.
Dude, would you play that today?
Yeah, I have played it. Like, I would probably put it in C. It's not great, but like for a handheld Mario game, it's pretty neat.
I think what I've played of two improved.
Two is much better. Yes.
So I think you put it.
It's not trash though. It is not Lost Levels.
I think it's pretty close. You just wouldn't want to play it today, I don't think. Like, even, you know, we'll get to it in a minute, the second one, it's like, that still has frame rate drops. It's just so limited. You can't even do the music well, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. My vote's for D. I don't know how... What did you put it in, Chris?
I would put at least C.
C? I don't know. Tony, you have feelings on this?
I have no opinion on this game. I have not played it.
Earl defers to my vote of D.
Did Earl leave?
Yeah, he said BRB.
Wait, hold on.
I don't think that's how
he gave me. He gave me def- like.
He gave me proxy vote.
On second thought, I vote for whatever Chris votes for. Then
Jeff's like, this is as bad as Lost Levels. Like, no,
think so. Yeah, I think it. Dude, this is. If we're making a tier of Mario games, this is pretty much the bottom, dude.
Right, but it is not trash.
Put Lost Levels in F. Put Lost Levels in F.
Levels all the way down to F.
But this is D. I think this just. I don't think we're gonna get much worse than this first Game Boy one. Like, and believe me, like, I had a Game Boy and I had two games for it. I had Tetris and I had this. And you know, at the time, this was like all right. Like, this was. You didn't know any better. This is, oh, this is what they could accomplish here. But they accomplished better later.
And I sure. Think and that's why I think it's like, but that's Earl's main argument for Super Mario Brothers being in C tier too. It established what you could do on the Game Boy with it, and sure, it did get better with, you know, Mario Land 2, but
I don't remember. I have not played this one in forever, but I remember it being very different than what 2 was.
But 2 is more of a traditional Mario. Like, this has like the little submarine thing, and like, yeah, there's like weird different levels too that are like, this is completely different from what you see in a normal Mario game. Like, it is not Super Mario Brothers. It is not Super Mario Brothers 2. It's like its own thing. And I like, yeah, like I kind of like the little submarine level. And, all
right.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, it's not great, but
you've convinced him.
Wait, hold on. We might have Earl back.
Oh, what did I miss?
Super Earl. Mario Land. Where would you place it?
Where did I have it? I think it was D tier for me.
Thank you. Jeez, thank you.
Wait, you have Lost Levels at B tier and Super Mario Land at D tier.
Tell him,
Earl. Tell him. Earl's
had a lot of drinks. Mario
Land is better than that.
Is it?
Like, yes.
What's it offer to the franchise?
Submarine?
I just think, dude, you would not. I would never really want to play it again. I was struggling with the second one today. Like, there's some neat things about it for sure. I don't know. Fucking, you're the tier master here. Put it somewhere, and we move on. No higher than C, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with C.
Just no higher than C.
I'm fine with C. Like, I think if we put it in D, we're like, this is trash. Right. And like, but Lost Levels, then Lost Levels belongs at F, where you said it belongs. Super Mario World.
A, or sorry, S. S. Mm. All day S.
Earl.
S tier. That is S. Easy peasy.
Tony.
I was going to say A.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of feel like compared to Super Mario Brothers 3, like I find the content in World to be less than it should be.
Yeah, like it's a wonderful looking game, but yeah, I mean, it's a great game. It's a Super NES game, but
I
think 3 is just like so much more interesting.
Like, why are there so few power ups in World? That always bothered me.
World, though, was just amazing looking graphics at the time. They had ghost houses. I think you were talking about the two best Mario games. They should both be an S, dude. Like, they're the two best 3D or 2D Mario games.
I will dispute that a bit later on with this being, but I do think it's a really amazing game.
That shit's S tier all day.
All right, we'll give you, like, I mean, it's right there on the edge. But Mario 3 is better, yes?
Yeah, I
agree with that. But there's lots of people that go the other way.
Because they're stupid.
Well, they're wrong.
There are people who are just wrong. Yes.
But I feel like it's the difference between like a 10 and like a 9.7.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, that's fine. We'll leave it an S tier then. Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins.
I had it at B tier.
That's where I would place it, Jeff.
I mean, since the first one's in C, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with B. The bunny ears are cool, if that's what they are. I don't even know what the fuck.
I think more importantly, even though it is the game that introduced the world to Wario, who I would say is one of the things that does... Really, even though it's odd, I don't think he's in any of the Mario games.
Also, there's like a horror, like / Halloween themed level, like called Pumpkin Land. Yeah, legit.
And like this series kind of warps into like the Wario series after this. So. Yeah,
it worked.
Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island.
A tier.
I agree with that.
It's a wonderful game and awesome art style. It just feels a little different.
It is a little different.
Yeah, that's why I kind of put it to the side to A tier, if that makes any sense.
Earl, Tony?
I can agree with all of that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. New Super Mario Brothers.
C.
Sure. Okay. Tony, you good there?
I am. I don't remember it being bad.
No, it's not bad. It's fine. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get to a game that's bad.
I do it both the same way too. But yeah, I just remember, like, I think it's the novelty of it is kind of like Super Mario Brothers, and that it's really fun for the fact that, like, you know, in historical standpoint, it doesn't make a difference now, but it was like the first 2D Mario game in over a decade. Like, they just hadn't done that. I mean, you can count Yoshi's Island in there, but like between Super Mario World and this, there's what, 14 years? 13 years, something like that?
Yeah, it was a chunk of time.
Yeah, so it was just like, oh man, like this is back and it's like modern 3D
graphics. We were happy with our slop.
They would just reuse that engine 3 times after this. But at the time, because I mean, the big addition to this game is the mini and Mega Mushroom. It's like he can grow really big or really tiny, and it's like, thank you, I guess.
The controls are a little different and stuff. Like, can't you kind of like slide on walls and shit? But it just feels so generic. And that's my problem with like most of the new Super Mario Brothers games. Although there is one that I like, we'll get to it.
There's one thing I will give this game, and I wish they had continued it. It has some of the most unique bosses in a 2D Mario game, because this is before, we'll get to in a bit. They don't really bring back the Koopa Kid, so they have to have like the mole in the tank. I think the first thing you do is you burn Bowser alive, so you fight Skeleton Bowser at some point. There's like a Wiggly, I think. So I like that they actually were like, oh, we're gonna have to think outside the box with bosses, and then they pretty much just said get rid of that with every other game after this.
And playing as Giant Mario is fun, as you just like destroy everything as you walk by. But C tier, yes?
Yeah.
Sure.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
I think it's better than the last one just for the multiplayer.
Yeah, I think it's...
I think B tier.
B? Yeah, I think it's an improvement. Like, it is... It's fun. It's fun. But it's not amazing.
Right.
I'm fine with B, I guess.
You wanted more?
No, I wanted to look.
But Jeff, anyway. Jeff, here's one you can trash. New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, that was like the really lame 3DS sequel, right?
Yep.
I had that at D tier.
And it was like all built around like coins, like the most boring shit in fucking Mario.
Well, it's not even so much that it was built around that. I mean, it's like they built it around and then they don't have any end game for that. There's like nothing to actually do with the coins once you collect them all.
Just get all the coins and get more then too.
Yeah.
What are we saying? What's here?
I think it's D.
I said D.
It's in D right now.
Lost levels.
Sure. It belongs there with it. It is really like,
I think it's not broken. Like they're neither that. I mean, it's lost fine. Levels are broken. Yeah.
It's fine, but it is like it was one of the most disappointing 2D Mario games ever.
Well, the bigger rub for it, I mean, okay, the coin gimmick makes no sense. The fact that the coins actually have no real payoff in the game makes no sense. But the biggest step in the face against it is it comes out 3 months before the next game, which is a much better evolution of the 2D Mario games.
And that next game is New Super Mario Brothers U.
Love it.
Which I would say I prefer to World.
I'm with you on that.
You
not
wait?
Yeah, yeah.
Over Super Mario World from the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Whoa, that's not right.
I don't know. Sounds pretty good to me.
So what, you guys are saying this is S tier?
I think so.
If we're saying Super Mario Brother, we're saying Super Mario World is S-tier.
Mario World's one of the greatest games of all time. And this was
better than it.
I think that's crazy, but
I think the problem is that we put Super Mario World in S tier.
No, it belongs. It sounds like.
That is what I'm hearing out of your mouth right now.
My vote for this one would be A tier, and it's like I don't think we're worlds apart on this. I think this surprised me because I did not really like the new Super Mario Brother games, right? So. You have the Wii U launching, and this is like their big Mario game, and I was just like, I guess I'm gonna get it because it's Mario, and I get it and play it, and I'm like kind of blown away by how good it is. Like, there's really cool worlds, like
level design is great. The you add the multiplayer in on that. Like, I think it's an improvement over World in just about it.
And yeah. I remember being like the final castle or whatever being like really cool if I'm correct on this, like one of the more inspired endings with Bowser and shit. So one world that looks like Van Gogh paintings and shit.
Yeah, exactly. I thought there was more of, I think the addition of like the penguin suit, and I think this is the one that had the fire suit, were also really nifty. I was gonna say that now that you mentioned it, I also think, you know, for their credit, I do think the new Super Mario Brothers games have really good Bowser encounters. Because I think Wii is the one where he's like giant in the lava chasing you? Or is that this one?
I have not played this probably since it came out on the Switch.
I just remember, actually, like all the recent like Mario games, like 3D and 2D, like they always do like a really good job with the ending, which is like, this is neat. Like, this is, like, you know, extended, and he's chasing me back through the castle type shit, you know? And I think this was like that. Like, this is one of them.
Oh, this is the one with Bowser Jr., where you have to hit him, and then take the crown cup and drop on Bowser's head.
Yes.
But, yes. No, I enjoyed this one. I enjoyed the one in Mario this week. I think probably my favorite recently is the one in 3D World with, like, Cat Bowser. He's chasing us the side of the building. But yeah, really, really great boss encounters. I think, you know, some amazing level designs. I think that there's the skeleton, like the skull roller coasters in the later half of the game.
Right? Oh yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
Honestly speaking, I think the thing that holds it back for me and talked about the same way as 3 and World for a lot of people is the fact that the culmination of the new Super Mario Brothers franchise, where it's like it's the same art style that
we
see 4 times in a row. And there was a game that came out like 3 months ago. Like,
that's why to me it's A. Like it's just a little bit holding it back from being like up there with the classics. But if you guys are all, are you saying S 2 then? Or
yeah, I think now that it's been a decade. Like that, this has been the last game in the franchise. I mean, we'll get to another one soon, but the last main game in the franchise. I do think if you play it now, you'd realize like how great it is. Outside of the fact, like, we have 4 of the same types of games in the span of like 8 years or something like that.
Funny thing is, I do have it on Switch. Like, I bought it on Switch, and still have not, like, I think I wanted to play it with my wife or whatever, and we just never got around to it. And anytime we try, we get in a fight.
And it comes with the one on Switch comes with the expansion, New Super Luigi U.
I still have not played through. Yeah.
Such a nightmare.
Is it?
I mean, it's fun. But those levels are insane.
The lost levels of New Super Mario Bros.
No, like it's not. You look at the level and go, okay, I can see what I need to do here. It's not. I don't think it's cheap. It is just like. And we'll talk about it in a minute, is like, you know, some of those crazy levels that are made in Super Mario Maker, though. It's like, but this is just like realized in a full Nintendo package. All right. Well, that does bring us to Super Mario Maker.
And these games are hard to judge.
Yeah, it really depends on how you interacted with it, I think.
And I think I kind of used Jeff's mentality here, in that I think we'll get to it in a second. I think the sequel actually is a better game for reading.
Yeah.
Even though the sequel does not add a ton, but it does add one key element.
It adds a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you know what's weird is, like, I played this one way more.
Way more, yes.
And there was more 100%. Of a community feel around it.
Yeah. I remember when this one came out, like, we were all trading codes, and, like, then Super Mario Maker 2, we were hyped for it. But, like, the hype for that died real quick.
I gotta be honest with you guys. I don't think I played through the actual game of it either. Like, I played through some of it. So I'm gonna have to, like, listen to what you guys think about it when we get there. But this one is hard to place, man. It's hard to place for me because it was a special thing. There was a moment there. There was a community. We were trying out each other's levels. You know, it's hard to say. Like, it's...
How about B?
Yeah, sure.
Tony, you good with that?
B works for me.
Earl?
The reason I'm debating that is because then we end up in the same situation where World and New Super Mario Bros. U. It's like, what do we put the sequel as then?
Let's see where we end up. Super Mario Run.
I had it at D tier. I mean, I would even go lower if possible.
You can go lower. It is an option.
Reach
for the floor, Earl. Reach for the floor.
I don't think it's a bad game. It's just kind of antithesis to what I want from Mario, because it takes me, like, you're just like pressing a jump button every now and then.
Yeah, like Mario just runs forward and you jump. I think it's good for what that is, but yeah, I think D is probably fair.
D it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad game. It's just not what I like. I faded and I'm like, oh, this is fine. But like, no, I would not want a sequel to this.
And that leaves us with our final Super Mario 2D game, Super Mario Maker 2.
Well, I guess if we put the original at B, I'm going to go with D as well. Because, yes, I kind of agree. I don't, this game had the same longevity, but it had the benefit of at least having single player content from Nintendo.
I didn't even think I tried making levels on it because, like, it was not even this, like, Wii U was, like, built for that, you know? How did you even make the levels on this one? Did you have to, like, play in handheld mode or what?
You could make it on the console. It was you had to use a different button combination and stuff like that. I mean,
it worked really well.
Yeah,
it did.
Combinations on the Wii U version as well.
Were you guys making levels?
My kids have made tons of levels.
Really?
So many. Oh yeah.
I think the way the campaign is structured too, because like you unlock more stuff for your levels by playing through the campaign and doing stuff, and it teaches you how to build levels within that campaign as well. I think it does a better job of kind of onboarding you into creating the levels. I already knew how to make levels because, you know, did it in Super Mario Maker, but I think it gives you incentive to try and do things.
But how is the game itself, like the game, like the campaign, whatever you want to call it, like, is it decent?
It's decent. Yeah. They're not like traditional Mario levels in that sense. They're more like challenges, but it is fun, and I do like how they tie it around, like, the narrative of, like, the Toads rebuilding the castle.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like, it's... They're it's not like... It's not a new Super Mario Brothers U level. It is more like, here's a challenge, and here's how you, you know, and it's giving you, basically, it's kind of showing you things that you can do as you build your levels. But, you know, having that content, having it made by Nintendo is kind of a big start, because, like, you jump into Super Mario Maker and you're relying on other people's levels or your own created levels to start with. So this has, like, content right out the gate that is maybe
What was the first one? B tier?
Yeah.
I'd say throw it in B tier because we didn't care about it as much the second time. I guess they made improvements, but
it's such a shame that I don't know. It could just be that, you know, we were just burned out on Super Mario Maker. It was like a one and done.
I'd spent whatever creative talent I had on that first one. I had no ideas left.
You know what it is? It's like you take all of like Nintendo's creativity. You're like, I still can't. All these people tried to build levels as good as Nintendo's and can't. And why would I put myself through this again? This failure. I can't do that. Why would I mock myself one more time?
That does remind me of one thing they did add that I felt like some people did not get used enough. And I mean, granted, we all played the game for like a day. Because they added the ability to like string levels together in this one.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was missing in the first one. And I thought that was just, but then it's kind of, because I think the thing we learned with Mario Maker is, and I mean, not necessarily us, but we as a society, is that one, video games are not easy to make. Two, people's idea of a good level doesn't mean it's a fun level. People's idea is like, how can we make this so like, because you see this all the time on like on YouTube and Instagram where people are like, oh, the only way to beat this level is like you have to precisely do exactly what I want you to do. And that's like, that's not fun. That's memorization. That's not actual gameplay.
All right.
So read it back by tier, Chris, like starting at S. You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear what we fill out every tier. I don't think we did an F.
We did not do an F.
But we filled out every other tier.
Yep. S tier was Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, Super Mario Brothers U. A tier was Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. B tier was Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2. Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, Super Mario Brothers Wii, Super Mario Maker, Super Mario Maker 2.
Okay, I'll tell you about. Is anybody else like, there's like one A tier game?
I know, that's what I couldn't remember if we had one in A.
And then there's like a bunch of like B tier games.
I still say Mario Brothers 2 should have been an A along with Yoshi's Island. But otherwise,
World should have been an A. That's the mistake we made.
No,
we can fix it right now, Jeff, if you want.
No, we got the three best games. I can drop it
down. I can pull Super Mario World down one. It's easy.
Maybe keep talking.
We actually did this. No, I'm saying we did this tier list pretty good. Look, we got three best games in S tier.
That sounded like a complaint, Jeff. I'm just saying.
C tier is Super Mario Land and New Super Mario Brothers. And D tier is Super Mario Brothers Lost Levels, New Super Mario Brothers 2, and Super Mario Run.
I think we pretty much got that right for once.
Well, it's the first one we've been doing, so.
Yeah, but we usually don't get anything right. I think we got this.
Wow. That does remind me, I don't know if you folks thought this, it's not even news, but BAFTA awarded Vampire Survivor as the Game of the Year.
Yeah.
There we go.
You see Jeff in your face.
Honestly speaking, I was surprised by that too. I'm like, oh, okay, other people are recognizing that. Good.
I mean, it is a fun game.
In fact, it's Game of the Year, according to this podcast and all sane people.
And BAFTA.
And BAFTA.
Two people. We should do more tier lists. I like it. It's fun. I'm addicted to them. I know we're doing one next
week. We're gonna try and do a 3D Mario next week. It's a less games, but there'll be
more passion, I think.
I think
I'll get, there's certain things I'm going to fight y'all about.
Well, I mean,
it's gonna be like those fucking presidents videos where they're fucking just calling each other names and shit.
There's also fewer of them. There's only what, 6, 7?
Yeah, it's less. We'll include Mario 3D Land and.
Wait, that's what I was including that because it's.
I guess
Sunshine, yeah. The two guys.
Bowser's Fury.
Okay, so what I was gonna say, and maybe we'll save this for the summer so that we actually have time to watch it. It would be fascinating because I do think this would have more debate, especially with what goes where. Video game movies?
Nope.
I am on board.
Shut it down. I don't want to watch these fucking movies.
We don't have to watch all right, we'll pick we won't make say Wing Commander or like Monster. Well, maybe Monster.
I've seen Wing Commander.
But maybe not.
I can tear that shit.
Not like Dynasty Warriors or something. At or Heavenly Sword, but like the
big. Here's what you do: you put them all in D and list done.
See, that's
what some of the Resident Evils can move up a little bit.
Yes, I think some of them.
God, no.
I don't know if there's any S tier ones out there, but
no. Well, maybe.
But that's what I would be curious because I think that would be a lot more like Mario. I think overall we can all agree is a really great franchise. Like even the fine games are still like really good games.
Yeah, I think even here, I mean, outside of Lost Levels, which you said isn't bad, but I think even here we're like these aren't terrible, right? Like there's no terrible games in the Mario franchise. I mean, there are other ones we could probably do. I think we're gonna do a Zelda one when Tony's away.
He'll just give me his vote. He'll agree with me.
No, that's not how it works.
Mario Kart, is that one you could do, Tony?
Absolutely, I can do Mario Kart.
Yeah,
they're all A tier though.
That's
your list.
There's a couple that are up a lot higher.
There's A and S. That's all it is.
And then there's like there's that one on the GameCube that's C tier.
Wait, well,
No way, bro. No way, dude.
So just so we're on the same page, we're saying that what is it? Super Circuit is A tier.
I put a B. I wasn't thinking of that. I'm just saying like that series is like.
Mostly great.
I think the Wii one and I got the Wii one I didn't love so much.
Wii one's fine. Seven's not great. It's
seven.
Fine.
Seven was lame.
Seven's fine, but seven has the same issue with like the. Like,
I do think
so much
people,
better.
I think people overrate the DS one too. I'm sorry. Like
I love the DS one.
Everyone loves it.
That mostly because it has the like there's actual reason to play it outside of just the races. There's the challenge mode and there's like cool stuff there. Anyway, we will do that at a later date. And I'm sure there are other series. We could do Halo. I think we've all played all the Halo
games. Let's do a console one.
Sure.
Console wars up in this bitch.
Yeah, because that's a great idea. It really works out well.
I love it. Love it. All right, we do all the Nintendo consoles.
Ask E3 how well it did console wars.
we could do a Rare one. Most of the stuff is C tier and below, and then there's a couple that are like B in it. we have some stuff we could do. So
fucking GameCube S tier, baby.
All right.
Let's do the podcast. I mean, Jeff is clearly C tier. Earl is S tier.
Yeah.
Earl is S tier. I don't know if Jeff is C tier.
All right, fine. B.
B at best. I'm not going any higher.
All right. We'll be back next week. Earl, when are you going to see Mario?
Sadly, not anytime soon. Because I think I mentioned it before. Well, one, big 3/8 is on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
And then it's out next week, but I have friends coming in, not next weekend, because next weekend's Easter, but the weekend after, so I'll be seeing it on the 15th.
Okay, so no review for us next week, but we will have 3D Mario.
Yeah, I mean, if you folks see it, you are more. I will just like go. The one thing I will spoil, I guess. Well, no, I won't spoil it. Never mind. But if you go on the Twitter page, like there's something Seth Rogen posted today that's in the movie that I'm looking forward to seeing.
I am going to see it on the 8th. So. But we'll hold off on the review until you see it.
I will just say this much, and I was surprised to see this movie's getting midnight screenings, because we haven't really done midnight screenings in years. And I mean, this doesn't seem the type of movie that needs that.
Nope.
It's a family movie. I don't know many families like, yeah, we should stay up until midnight on a Tuesday.
It is, at least here, it is like spring break, because it's for a lot of schools, Easter.
We do it the other way. We do spring break going out
of the week after, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not going to see it until the 8th, so. All right, well, we will talk about that after Earl sees it, after Tony and Jeff see it. And we'll do 3D Mario tier next week. Jeff, yeah. Say goodnight.
Wahoo!